You think you know me?
Hey, how's it going out there? Welcome back to another Carolyn and Joe show. My name is Joe.
Another week of the Carolyn and Joe show.
That's right. My name is Joe.
I'm Carolyn.
Hey, guess who's back in the studio today?
Special guest.
The one and only Mr. WrestleMania himself, Danny.
This is the second time we've opened the show with Edge's music with me on the show now. I just thought about it. I was like, wait a second. We've done this before.
It should just definitely be your theme song when you come into the show.
I think so.
Well,
I
certainly Real Edge isn't using
every
it anymore.
Show with it.
Because he broke his neck.
Yeah, so guys, definitely.
Every match.
Thanks again for tuning in. Just so you know, this show is sponsored by Curls.
Edge.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Edge.
Slim Jim.
Slim Jim.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
Curls-studio.com. Go over there and check out everything. You can find. What can you find there, Carolyn?
Curls-studio.com. You can find my twice-weekly webcomic Curls every Monday and Thursday. You can find a whole bunch of photos of us from all the conventions that we're at and our upcoming tour schedule. And a whole bunch of other fun stuff.
And more! And more.
And more.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
So, definitely go over there and check it out.
Free shipping and handling.
Yeah, free shipping. No. We don't have free shipping and handling on that side. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't cost anything to look.
Yeah, if you ever thought of a way of like, hey, what's the best way to support the Carolyn and Joe show, go to curls-studio.com and go buy something.
Buy something.
Right,
from
Danny?
Our
tell
store.
Them, yeah, they should buy something from there, anything.
Yes,
we have
absolutely.
Comics, we have shirts, we have other fun stuff. Check it out.
That's right. So, Danny, welcome back, man. It's actually been, I don't even know how long it's been.
I think it's been like 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's been 6 weeks.
Not that long.
It's been 6 weeks. The last
really?
Time,
not that long?
The last time we
can't
talked to
remember.
you had the burger challenge.
The fries
oh, yes.
challenge from
I,
hell.
I remember that now.
But now you know, WrestleMania's happened,
fresh
man.
Fresh oil. I don't know how fresh this is now after WrestleMania, but yes.
Yeah. You,
it's always fresh because we haven't heard your full story yet.
Yeah, exactly. Not everyone has been to WrestleMania.
We're saving it for the show. This is actually my second time at WrestleMania. I went WrestleMania 17, and coincidentally, that was the first time Triple H lost The Undertaker. Yeah, believe it or not.
So where was the 17?
Oh, yeah, that was.
It was in Toronto, Canada.
Oh, wow.
And, that was. I remember
so you were,
that.
Like, from Edge's home country.
Yes.
This is the 10-year anniversary of you watching.
The 10-year anniversary of Triple H jobbing The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and he celebrates it by jobbing to him again.
So I want to hear about this, though.
So yeah, WrestleMania weekend was a pretty big event.
You live in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Could you feel like, when was the first time you heard it was announced that WrestleMania was going to be in Atlanta?
Well, the previous WrestleMania. They always do it.
So
that's like tradition now where it's like in the middle of WrestleMania. It was like during WrestleMania 26. They're like, you know, there's like a brief intermission and then they show like thunder and a bunch of buildings that you never really know. And then they're like, WrestleMania 27. Atlanta, Georgia.
Was that the moment you're like, I'm going to go there? Or was this a different...
I want to go to
the
there.
Because that's, you know, that was still in your hometown when you saw it.
Well, the funniest thing is, I was like, oh, it's in Atlanta. But then, you know, everyone else was all like, we got to go.
Because they have a free place to stay.
Exactly. They could stay at my house. And they all did. As in Hazard and James, they came down. And my friend Andy from North Carolina, he came down too. So it was just like a... Like, all the guys piled in my house.
So was this thrust upon you almost? You're like, well, everyone else wants to go. I might as well go too. Or were you like, I'm going to go?
There's a story behind it
Did
all.
Did Lara go?
No, Lara didn't go.
Just David?
Yeah,
okay.
Just Hazard.
What's
Hazard
the story? What's that story behind it?
Okay, I told him, I came clean after while we were driving home from WrestleMania. I was all like, I didn't want to say anything while you guys were here, but I don't really care about live shows. After the first WrestleMania, I was all like, you know what? I don't really need to do this again. But, you know, I don't want to take a dump on everyone else's expectations. And everyone should really, like, go at least once.
And you've been to a WrestleMania before,
yeah.
So you've already experienced
I experienced the magic and all the
excitement.
The
excitement of WrestleMania.
The happening. But, like, yeah, because the show itself, Honestly, I thought it was a weak show.
Yeah.
I thought this year's WrestleMania was weak. And I was really let down by the Triple H and Undertaker match. I thought it would be better.
Really?
Like, yeah, I mean, Triple H is no Shawn Michaels, but still, he knows how to make a good psychological match. And maybe it's because we couldn't hear, like, commentary, or maybe there was some stuff we were limited by sight
yeah.
or where we were sitting. But overall, I mean, you still got most of the drama of the match. I was like, oh my God, Undertaker's, he's going to get tombstoned. I was like, oh no. And then, but I was being the asshole in the crowd because, you know, all the kids. And
where were you positioned?
We were just beyond the floor, like literally.
Could you see the ring? Like,
yeah, it was a fairly okay view, and we could see all the crucial stuff. I mean, anything that happened outside of the ring, we couldn't really see. So I was like, oh.
So you couldn't see anything by
yeah.
the
yeah.
Whatever,
we saw
Michael
we
Cole's
saw when the coal mine got destroyed, and then like we just didn't see much. We had to actually look up at the monitors at that point to kind of get an idea of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But then like, I was being the jerk. I was being the super mark in the crowd. Because, like, after Undertaker hit the choke slam, you know, everyone's all excited. All the kids are excited. All the casual fans are like, yo, it's over, it's over. I was like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, it's not. It's WrestleMania.
Were you just sitting there all stoned, like, expression?
No, I mean, I was having a good time, but I was like, it's WrestleMania. Come on, man. It's WrestleMania. Everyone knows you got to hit at least four finishers before you can pin the guy.
And they did.
Yeah, they did. They hit, like,
such a back and forth.
Yeah, Triple H hit him with, like, two pedigrees in the tombstone. I was like, oh, my God, that's a third finisher. Oh, crap, this could be it.
And then
that's when I got excited because I was like, that was the third finishing move. This match could very well end on that. But then he kicked out. And then I was like, we haven't seen the triangle choke.
The Hell's Gate. It's just in the Hell's Gate. It's coming up someplace.
Yeah.
I was looking for that too because they got to go through
the
ring.
Yeah, you got to go through the Hell's Gate.
They also got to exchange finishers sometimes.
Exactly. And then so when he locked it in, I was like, oh my God. You could see that they were trying to create the drama of Triple H maybe like powerbombing his way out of it or something and picking him up. But, you know, he kept dropping back down. And
Was that just effective live though? Did you more or less feel the energy of the audience, or was like,
you know, the audience was kind of, they didn't know what was going on because, like, you know, it's not one of those submission moves that you just stay in for a long. I guess this is really old school where it's like, you keep a guy in so long he has just passes out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Steve Austin.
Yeah, place. Austin and like I can't remember the last time they did other than Austin, maybe like Foley when he passed out, but yeah, it was just. That and it was just over all of a sudden, and then it was like, man, because it was very much an ECW match.
Yeah,
it was like big finishing move, rest, and then they'd get up, throw a couple punches, finishing move, rest, and then I was just like, man, this is pacing of this match was horrible.
Also, I feel like for that style of match, it might not register as much to a bigger audience. Like if you're just there and you're able to watch like the details of what's happening in the match, I feel like you'd feel it like a little more, but since like you're surrounded by how many people were?
Yeah, it was like 71,000 people in attendance.
71,000 people looking at like a 21 by 21 ring, you know what I mean? And a submission where you have to see the expressions on their face, even though they have giant screens.
And it wasn't like one of those submission moves where the guy in it is all like flipping out, you know, doing the whole like flailing his arms and legs.
You can't see
his
face.
He wasn't doing the Terry Funk.
None of that. Yeah, there was none of that. So it was just kind of like, oh, he's going to pass out. Because after about like 2 minutes, you're like, yeah, he's probably going to pass out. He's going to pass out.
My main concern with like the whole WrestleMania experience is that I wouldn't be able to see much. And I feel like I'd just be looking at giant screens. And for the cost of like the ticket plus to go to the place plus to get time off work, it's definitely like an investment, but then I feel like, well, you could always just pay $50 and sit on your couch.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. As we were driving back, I told everyone yeah, I'm glad you guys came down and had a great time hanging with you guys, but honestly, I've had better memories of just like hanging out at Joe's place watching WrestleMania with everyone eating food. And
yeah,
it's really interesting because it's really interesting because leading up to that, like you know, I follow Dave LaGagna, like the former writer of WWE, his iwantwrestling.com, and they would talk about like the TV production aspect of WrestleMania, how big it is, and he even said like he'd rather just go and watch it on TV because then you get to see all like
see
the
everything.
Yeah, like the close-ups of their face.
Yeah,
when you're there
the
live
struggle.
Because when you're there live you get one angle, but when you're on television you get like all the
angles.
And the fireworks maybe even look better. I was very impressed by the size of the stage and how shiny it was. I kept on thinking about
that. It was pretty
cool. I was like, wow, that's a pretty big, like WrestleMania.
From where we were sitting, all we could really see was the Mania.
Like, it's Mania, dude.
We're at Mania, man. Mania.
But, like, the scale of that, because, like, when I was looking at, like, the... Because I've had to, like, for a lot of jobs, I've had to put up those LED, like, screens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The closest one I've had to put up was probably, like, 20 feet high. And then looking at the size of that one, I was like, damn, that shit is, like, almost to the third, tier of the,
it's almost
the
like to heaven.
Stadium, man. I was like, damn, that must be
stairway
a
to heaven.
Huge
See, I don't know if you guys noticed, but remember there was a match on the card, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan?
Yeah. That,
yeah.
That was a dark match.
Was it dark? Was
they
it
turned
good?
It into a dark match, but I was like, I wonder which one of them pissed someone off to get kicked off the WrestleMania
I know,
card.
Right?
And then it not only okay.
Well, they were still advertising it, like, you know, the pre-show.
Yeah,
they were actually, still advertising, and Joe was looking forward to
yeah,
Daniel
I was like,
Bryan.
Dude, I'm so pumped for looking.
I wasn't really looking forward to that match.
Because the first thing I wanted to hear, I was like, you know, what would be a perfect way to start the show.
But they were like, they were seriously promoting it like 5 minutes before WrestleMania was going to start. They were like, and we're going to have
the
Sheamus
and Daniel
Bryan match.
Like I said, they must have pissed someone off because like they came out like whatever the equivalent of Dave Penzer was out in the ring.
The equivalent of Dave.
I don't remember. I don't know his name. Josh Matthews, whatever his name is.
Josh Matthews.
But he was all like, "We got this special warm up match for you guys in WrestleMania attendance."
Is that actually what he said? A special warm up
match?
Yeah,
he was like, they didn't call it a dark match. That's like that's what us smart Mark fans, nerds over fans call them. But
it wouldn't sound as cool. We got a dark match for you guys.
But it's like it's for the United States title. I was like, wait a second, What are they practicing? Are they going to do like a quick match in practice? No, so they came out.
So it was really for a title
match?
Yeah, it wasn't even aired?
They got kicked off the card for some reason.
Weird.
I guess they're still
and
on
the best
the
part
card,
was
right?
The best part
yeah,
was
we paid
like,
for it and we didn't see it.
And they're like, it's a special lumberjack match. And then you see like it was so funny because all the guys you know weren't gonna be on the card came out to be lumberjacks.
Yes.
Like Mark Henry, Great Khali, like Carlito, or I mean not Carlito, Primo, and like
Carlito.
You name them. They're all the jobbers came out to be lumberjacks.
They might as well just thrown in the divas that weren't there either.
Yeah. And then so like they had a match and then naturally it's all spilled outside and the lumberjacks got all crazy and then like Teddy Long's music hit and he's all like, what's going on, players?
You know,
since
player?
You can't get along, y'all get in the ring, it's gonna be a battle royal. It was just so you know, I was like, man,
who won that battle royal though?
The Great Khali.
What?
Yeah, Sheamus and the Great Khali were the last two guys left and then
not even Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan was number three.
He was the third to last guy.
Like Sheamus took him out and then like he started posing and then Khali just chopped him in the head and threw him over the ring.
And then chopped him over the head.
Yeah, that
a
stupid
chop
move. He just chops guys on the head.
Nice.
Like a literal karate chop under the head.
So that was cool though. I mean, like because usually like when I'm watching a WrestleMania, we always anticipate that first song that's gonna hit.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I was like, man, I want to hear Daniel Bryan's song.
But instead, it was Del Rio, so I was excited.
Yeah,
about
Del Rio's
that.
Music is really good. It's a really good interruption music.
And now, like all at random times, we would just yell out Del Rio just for the. Just for the sake of it.
But you already
because that's
know
getting
that.
Over. It's getting over,
see,
man.
See, but like, in the end, my biggest gripe at WrestleMania, I really wanted a Miz, like a Hello, I'm Awesome t-shirt.
Yeah.
So we went to Fan Access. Gone. They're all gone.
Damn.
And wow. So I was like, all right.
Were there still, do they still sell those?
No, I found out later that they just, that was completely off the shelves.
Okay.
I've come to the conclusion that WWE shirts, they're the equivalent of Disney DVDs. Get yours now before it's forever locked in the vault and you'll never see it again.
That's
so
right.
The I'm like, Awesome shirts aren't even on their website now?
Yeah, not even listed on the website
man.
Anymore.
Now I wish I
eBay.
Got like an Edge shirt because I really like the Edge shirt.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about getting shirts. The CM Punk Shock shirt or the Electro Shock shirt.
Yeah, with the hand with
yeah,
the
not the,
lightning
not the,
bolt.
Not the Nexus yellow one, the white one. They still sell it to my knowledge.
I feel like you
I bet
need
you it's
to
been
get...
locked up in the vault by
oh,
now.
You need to get it
locked
now.
Locked up the WWE
yeah,
vault?
Yeah, the WWE vault.
It's good to know that in case like
just
in case. Oh, yeah,
but the thing is like my biggest gripe was I was like, damn it. I want a souvenir shirt. So they had the, you know, I don't really like pay-per-view shirts because they're usually kind of gay, to be perfectly honest. I don't want pictures
has, like,
of
the big
tour
shirts. The big logo
like, yeah,
with
it's just
all
a black
their faces.
Shirt with a bunch of like big sweaty dudes on the shirt. I was like, you know what?
I think
I'm at the age where I don't really want to wear pay-per-view. It's like the concert shirt.
Yeah.
Wearing the concert shirt at the concert. That's
can,
what my friend Andy
can,
kept saying.
Yeah, and you can
he's like, look at all these losers wearing the concert shirt at the concert.
Yeah, and you can only really wear it like
know.
Day after to
yeah,
to
but
something.
The thing is, like, they had actually one cool shirt design. It was just like this navy blue. It totally breaks the mold of all wrestling shirts have to be black. And it just had like the WrestleMania logo with like actually kind of neatly designed. And then it said this was the special live event shirt. It says, like, I was there, Atlanta, Georgia, 4-3-11. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, I want one of those. So I was like, so I got in line at the concessions, and it, awful lines. It's like,
too many people?
Yeah, honestly, it's like, if you ever want a shirt from, like, a wrestling show, buy it online. Because the lines and customer service, like they come on, they just hire, like, Joe Schmoes off the street to do these things. So they're never good. You're always going to wait in these really long lines, and they'll never have what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like, so this is a live pay-per-view event that had 71,000 people at it. They must have printed maybe 30,000 shirts. Because we got in at least an hour and a half before the dark match began. They were already sold out of shirts. Hmm. I was like, what the fuck?
I would kind of believe
they
that.
They were
those prices are probably jacked up already, too.
You know, the sad thing is they're cheaper. They're just the same price as what you could have gotten online.
Oh, then
so I was like,
yeah,
you pay for shipping, but here's the thing. You'll get it. But the bottom line is I was like, I didn't get it. And I was like, fuck this shit, man. I'm mad. Fuck. So like,
before the show even starts.
Yeah, I was in a bad mood. I missed two matches because I was waiting because they're like, we're going to get more in like 30 minutes. So I was just hanging out because I really wanted one.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so you missed the first two matches?
No, or? I didn't miss the first. I missed...
What was the match that you decided to leave? You're like, I'm going to get a shirt.
No,
I don't know that.
God, I know I completely missed CM Punk and Orton.
Oh, why?
Because I don't like Orton. Orton sucks.
But CM Punk.
Yeah, but I knew he was going to lose. So I was like, I don't really want to watch this.
But I wanted him to win. He should have won that match.
Yeah, I wanted him to win, but you knew leading up to it he wasn't going to. But
so you decide that. You're like, all right,
I'm
going to
get a shirt. Then I missed most of the Lawler and Michael Cole match.
We didn't really miss.
Yeah, no, I got back in a bad mood and it was still going on.
You're
so
like, damn it.
I sat down, looked at the ring, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Boring! Boring! I was trying to be that guy, trying to get the boring chant started. And like, you know,
I remember hearing some of it.
A few places got started, but I was just in a foul mood after that. And then I was like, all right, I gotta cool down, you know?
I feel that it's tough to get like a solid chant when it's like 70,000
people. It's hard to get a chant. Like, it is really hard to get a chant.
Because I feel you can get 10,000 people to do a chant,
yeah.
But still, you got 60,000
people.
I tried,
but you know, like I said, it's hard to get a chant going. But that match sucked.
So what other tips do you have for like people planning on attending WrestleMania besides getting your shirt early on
honestly,
get 4 hours in advance?
No. If you really want like the breakdown
of like your top five things to know about going to WrestleMania.
Okay. If you want the shirt, the live event shirt, get it at FanXS because that was the cardinal sin that Huzzard and I Huzzard wanted a Sheamus shirt. And apparently they don't make that anymore either. That's locked up in the WWE vault. And I wanted an awesome shirt. But because
I'm awesome
shirt. But because we were hell-bent on one shirt, we didn't think about a fallback shirt like the souvenir shirt. They had them they had no lines. There was no one like because they had like six or seven shirt stands at FanXS. Mm-hmm. And we'd have easily gotten one. Easily got one, but we didn't get it.
I think
so. If you want
general,
one, get it at FanXS because you're not getting it on the day of the event.
I've been learning more and more. Whenever you really, really want something, you just gotta get it.
Yeah.
Because if you wait on it, it's gonna be gone.
Yeah.
So I want to know more about this FanXS. So
yeah. Honestly, I was like, you guys have seen the show, so there's really not much to talk about the show itself, other than like,
I mean,
the owned guy in front of us was a super nerd.
I'll ask a lot more questions about that. We'll start this in sort of order.
Okay.
So everyone arrived basically at your place when?
Everyone arrived Friday at like 8 a.m.
Wait,
like,
Friday 8 a.m.
The
pay-per-view's on Sunday.
Yeah,
so like,
but they came in on Friday because
access starts when?
Saturday. Okay. Well, technically it starts Friday night, but nobody wanted to meet Orton or nobody wanted to meet nobody wanted to meet Edge either.
Really?
The
what?
Top two guys. No one wanted to meet
Edge. No one wanted to meet Edge?
I bet you would have met Edge.
The thing is, it's like you pay like $50 because of the freaking Ticketmaster charge for like a $30 ticket. But they're like, Ticketmaster charges for
jack up the service.
For our jerking off behind a computer charge, cleaning up the jizz. But
well, that's
yeah,
a
that's exactly what you're paying for when the service charges.
That's not a service fee.
But the bottom line is like, they're like $35 tickets, but they ended up being $50. And WWE's customer support fucking sucks.
Is that as bad as TNA?
They don't. If you email them, you will not get a response within any reasonable amount of time. Because I emailed them like 2 months ago. I was like, I'm curious if you are selling FanXS tickets at the door, and no one responded. So the night before, on Friday night, we're like, shit, we got to get our FanXS tickets. And they sold out for the one we were going to go to in the morning on Saturday.
Well, how was it structured, though? It's like during block, you have to go through blocks?
Yeah, they have like 4-hour blocks.
Oh, really?
Where you get in and then you have pretty much 4 hours to just run around and do
whatever
you want.
But do you know who's scheduled for those 4-hour
They do.
Blocks?
They give you baseline. They say like, here are the big ones. And then that turned out to be bullshit, too. Because the one we were going to go to, like the headliner guy at the original one, was Triple H. But we waited too long and couldn't get tickets for that one. But it didn't matter because they were selling them at the door. So if we had just got there, we would have been able to get tickets at the door without the jizz charge.
So now this was
this
is just at like a convention center. Where'd they have that?
Georgia Dome. Right next to the Georgia Dome is this giant conference center.
Okay,
giant, so. Like it's called the World Congress Center, and it's a gigantic place that can literally hold probably close to 1 million people. But
so let's say you wanted to go for like 8 hours, two shifts.
Yeah,
is that $100?
You'd have to pay twice.
Okay.
Because they'll pretty much usher you out the door after your shift, your block is over.
Oh, that's vicious. Because I thought it was like, you know,
no,
Comic-Con.
Yeah,
where
you can't just go all day. Because that would have been awesome to just go at your own leisure.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, too.
No, they have shifts. And
how would they know how to get rid of you? You have color-coded
tickets badge
or something
color-coded
like
or something. I don't know. But if you're... Because Fan Access is technically... It's one giant room. Huge, huge, like huge convention hall room. So pretty much all the events are spread out there, and I imagine after the block is over, they just lock all the doors except the exit and say get out. that's probably what they do because then they open the door for us, because when we got there it was like there was a line, but they just opened the door, so everyone just started pouring in, and it was kind of cool because there's this big hall full of like giant pictures of the wrestlers and banners and all this stuff. And
I feel like truthfully 4 hours is not enough to get the full effect.
No, honestly, it was more than enough.
Really?
More than enough.
Okay.
After like we left probably with like a good hour and a half before it was over, but we did everything. And so, like I said, their posted things aren't entirely true too. I mean, honestly, I hate to say it, but there was a lot of letdowns as in regards to like the WrestleMania experience, because you know, we settled on the night one, because we could have still gone to the afternoon one.
Yeah.
But we're like, we saw the night one. It said, meet Big Show. I was like, dude, I can meet the Big Show. The Big Show seems like a cool guy. I would love to meet the Big Show. And it says, meet Jimmy Hart. And we're like, Jimmy Hart, we got to go. Jimmy Hart sold us. Seriously, Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart was the main reason because the afternoon block was like Rey Mysterio. I was like, you know, Ray's kind of cool. Ray's all right, but I'd rather meet the Big Show and Jimmy Hart.
But you're also not like 12.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're not a 7th or 12 year old.
So we got there. It was funny because we got there and like it's a giant convention hall. And then James, he saw far in the distance when we got there the banner that said WWE Legends. And he goes, whoa, Jimmy Hart, come on, let's go. And you know when James gets really excited, he just took off.
You can't stop him.
Yeah, he just took off. Like he was gone. Like, and then
we caught
up to him, and he was already in line. And yeah, we waited. And Jimmy Hart was the good. This is the positive. Jimmy Hart is actually really cool. Like you could tell. Like we knew going into this, we're like, all right, Jimmy Hart. He has to know that anyone in his line, they're gonna be like our age and older.
Yeah.
Because we're the only ones who really know him.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, when we get in line, everyone is definitely like our age and older. And these are people who legitimately know who he is, and you could tell Jimmy Hart really loved it. He was really appreciative. He was shaking hands, letting everyone hold the megaphone.
Megaphone, yeah.
And
did he have all of his coats and stuff?
No. See, that's the thing. I was like, this is my nerd moment. Because when I got up to him, I was like, man, I wish you were wearing like one of your rhythm and blues jackets with like the sheet music on the back or Honky Tonk Man's head on it. And he was all like, he looked at me for a second, and I think that was that moment that he knew he was dealing with someone who actually remembered him back
a veteran,
in the day.
Man, yeah.
So he looked at me, he's all like, oh man, it's because of the WWE Hall of Fame I had to wear this kind of coat. Look what I'm wearing underneath. You know, he talks really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he had this really, it was actually really cheap. He had a white coat with just like red heart spray painted onto it, like on a stencil. You could tell it was really last minute done.
Like airbrushed.
But the thing is, he was talking about how, and he opened the coat up and he's got like a suit on underneath. And it was all because the Hall of Fame dinner was after our shift.
Oh, yeah,
so he was just, you know, just trying to be
prepared,
I guess, resourceful. And he had like a makeshift coat over his Hall of Fame like evening wear.
So he could just jump right to the
exactly.
next event.
Exactly. So that's what he said. He was like, I'm jumping to the event right after this. So I was like, all right, that makes sense. But he was, you know, I was like, but he knew right away that he was dealing with someone who remembers him and knew who he was. And but he was really cool and he was like very nice and appreciative to all the fans that showed up.
So how was that experience? Like, did each one of you get the chance to be?
Yeah,
up?
We
because I know I know I got a picture. Someone James texted me an image.
Yeah, James and Husband were Twittering the whole goddamn weekend. I was like, what the hell, man? Every time I look, or every time we're driving, some of the two of them are sitting in the back seat, like, Twittering away. I'm like, the God damn it.
That's what happened.
Disconnect, God damn it. You guys came down here for a fucking vacation. It was all four of us met Jimmy Hart.
How long was the line? Were you there for like an hour or just
it took
fast?
A little bit. Jimmy Hart's line, I mean, all the lines took a little bit of time. And, but, you know, after we met Jimmy Hart, we were all we're like, all right, job's done. And it's like, let's see what the Big Show is doing. And then the Big Show never showed.
He
was listed to be really? in that block, but he never came. So we were actually
he was like, I'm just going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Well, it doesn't matter. I whatever reason, and we don't know the reason, but the bottom line is we came because we chose that one because we wanted to see the Big Show in addition to Jimmy Hart. And there
Did
was
you
no
ask
Big
questions?
Show.
They were like, where's the Big Show?
Yeah, I mean, there was no Big Show, but CM Punk's did a meet and greet, but his line was ridiculous.
Dude,
so we're
because
like,
it's CM Punk,
yeah,
dude.
So we're like, screw it, we're not doing it.
CM Punk right now is like my favorite
man,
guy.
Oh,
so.
And then I saw Melina, so I went and did a meet and greet with Melina.
How is she? I heard she's a...
Yeah, I actually really like Melina. I actually blogged about how much I love Melina. I was like, after.
So what was your experience with Melina? Or unless, where can we check out your blog if you want?
Yeah, you could look at my blog, totfc.net, by the way.
But was it worth it?
Nah, hers was... It's not that it wasn't worth it. It was literally one of those, they had a blown up picture of a WWE magazine cover.
Yeah.
And it was like, take your picture, it be your magazine cover, kind of. That was all it really was. So you got to take a picture with Melina.
And then walk away.
But I was like, I stopped at Melina and I was like, she's like, hey, how are you? I'm like, good, how are you? And she's like, oh, it's great. And I told her, I told her, you know what? I think you're my favorite diva. And she stopped and looked at me for a second. She's like, thank you. That really means a lot. I thought about it for a second. I was like, I really hope she was genuine with her thanks.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know what? Because my line of thinking is Melina's got to feel like she's probably like the old one right now. Like she's been one of the divas that's longer tenured right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's more focused on like the blonde tits
like
and ass.
Kelly
like,
Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly Kelly and Michelle McCool and stuff like that. But I legitimately do like Melina, and I have justification for it.
And she started from the ground up.
Yeah.
She did her Tough Enough and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, and I told her, I the story is simple. It's like I really started liking her because she never let the crowd get to her. Like,
yeah.
Because like, when she botched her entrance,
yeah.
Like when she just bit it, totally messed up
yeah,
the entrance
yeah.
and fell off the
she
apron.
She redid it.
And then she redid it, and the crowd just, they exploded. They popped. And remember, she was like a heel at the time too.
Yeah.
But like, but because she didn't try to hide it, she totally owned the moment. And like, I was like, dude, Melina's awesome. That's where she won me over there. And I was like, you're my favorite diva. And she's like, oh, thank you. But, you know, the best part was after that, James was like,
did all three of you meet her as
no,
well?
No, I was the only one because no one.
What?
So
they just like waiting
there.
For you on the
no,
side,
they
just went off and did their
ring.
Own thing.
There's an actual live ring, mm-hmm. and like. Earlier that night, because they saw an actual match going on.
Okay.
Like, it's total jobber matches, too, because it was like...
People
it was
you
like,
never heard
no,
of.
No,
Zach,
no.
Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder was there doing a meet and greet, and he actually had a big line.
I gotta say, I'm pretty much getting behind Zack Ryder right now.
But the match,
trying to get over.
The match, I couldn't see who it was against. It ended up being Justin Gabriel, but he was wrestling Yoshitatsu. I was like, jobber.
Dude,
it's a jobber match.
I bet it was a good match, though, man. It
may have been. Yeah, both of them are high flyers.
Because, you know, those two jobbers, that's like... Any chance they can have a match?
Yeah.
Justin Gabriel's good, but that one move that he does takes like forever.
His shooting star press is going to kill
like
someone.
It takes forever for
or
him
his
to set up.
Yeah. His 450 is going to kill someone because he's a little too big to be doing it, but he's still doing it. And you can see that there's some volatility with the way he does it.
Yeah.
But so we walked around the whole thing, and yeah, I got to meet Melina, which is cool.
So why didn't James and Hazard want
to
see
Melina? They wanted to go see the match, so they went to go watch the match.
So did you take a picture with Melina?
Yeah, I
did. It turned out pretty well?
Yeah, I'm satisfied with it. And they had like all sorts of
music. Do you have the photos up on your site?
Not yet.
Did they charge? But they didn't charge.
No. If they charged, I would have lost my shit. I'd be like, I already paid $50 to get in this goddamn thing.
Take off your shirt.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Like, they had, like, the museum thing, which was actually kind of cool with all sorts of, like, random memorabilia. It's like...
Did it have their outfits?
Yeah, like, the Miz's outfits. And the funniest thing was no two people had more outfits there than Trish Stratus and Sunny.
Really?
They literally had the last two walls. It was all of Trish Stratus' outfits and, like, all of Sunny's outfits. I was like, damn.
Back to... Those are two of the biggest divas
right
there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
and then, what naturally, they had, like, the Andre the Giant suit, and I had a picture of Hazard standing next to the Andre the Giant suit where he's, like, 2.5 feet shorter than it.
Nice.
And, they had, like, I totally popped for a Mr. Fuji's cane.
Was it just the cane?
Yeah, it was just
Did
a cane
hanging
in it. Did
he have a top hat and coat or something?
No, and it had a sign that said Mr. Fuji's cane. And then, I think they had a photo of him, like, hitting Smash with it or something.
The betrayal.
And then, like, Sergeant Slaughter's boots and, like, the big boss man's boots and handcuffs and stuff like that. So that was cool stuff. But, you know, they had, like, a lot of makeshift little museums and exhibits. And they had this thing called, like, the Undertaker's Graveyard where you walk in. There's a big empty grave which says Triple H. It's supposed to be. What the funniest thing is, they have all the previous 18 guys
that he beat.
Or no, they have the previous 18 guys minus one, which is Triple H.
Triple H. It's like.
But they had like Mark Henry's and stuff, and they had like the casket, the Gold Dust coffin. I was like, "Where's the Ultimate Warrior coffin?" I really wanted to see like the dinged up Ultimate Warrior coffin, but they didn't have that there. But it was cool being there because you could tell they put a lot of effort into making this little exhibit.
So is fan access worth it for $50, even though you went through some disappointments?
Honestly, I don't think it's worth it. If it was just $35, yeah. But all $50, you begin to feel a little gypped.
You think it was like more for kids on that end of things?
Very much for kids, because Carlito had a table signing. Oh, his thing went.
Carlito?
I mean, not Carlito. Because
like on the
Santino.
On the like at least video side that I see, like their video package for fan access, it kind of felt like at least like, I don't know, 40 or 50% of it seemed very kid-oriented. Like, they had kids coming
Honestly,
down out of the ring
it's more important
and posing.
For the kids. Yeah, it was really more important for the kids. But the entrance thing, I totally wanted to do it, but the line was just stupid long because I was like, man, these people just don't realize the chance they have to do a ring entrance. Because I was watching all these people, they'd walk to the ring like freaking Vladimir Kozlov, where they just get in their biggest muscle pose and then just walk straight.
Do they get one chance to do this?
Yeah, one shot.
Is this like,
and then you have
is
to get
it
back
filmed
in line.
Or anything like that?
Yeah, they'll film
do
you
get
it
like
for
a
you.
Yeah, do you have to pay extra for the?
No,
for
no,
the
they'll give you a
VHS?
Link where you can like find it online or whatnot.
That's cool.
But I was like, man, these people are just wasting their time. I was like, you know what? I would go up there and I would parade around until the track reset. Or until they told me to get off the goddamn stage.
Did you do the Triple H, the water spit?
I would have done it if I had the tolerance to wait in line. Hazard was like, you should do Kelly Kelly. I was like, you know what? I would do Kelly Kelly's entrance and own that shit.
Hell yeah, own it, man.
Own it. Because no one was doing it. Everyone was doing Cena or The Miz.
Were there a lot of girls there?
Oh my god, that's the weirdest thing. Like, there were not only were there girls, there were a lot of girls, and they were just like, but the thing is, they're that creepy, weird fangirl. And, like, I saw at least three girls carry, like, you see a lot of dudes with replica belts. I mean, I thought I was bad with, like, my six replica belts.
Yeah.
But these are guys with, like, man, you name it, they've got these belts. And then
they're
the
just
weird,
carrying around,
yeah,
like, 10
around.
Belts?
I could have easily had each one of us carrying an older belt. But I was like, nah, that means we got to carry it around.
Yeah. And that's the big hassle.
You know
what I mean?
But I saw at least three girls actually carrying Divas belts.
Like the butterfly?
Yeah, but the fact that there are girls out there that into wrestling that they want replica belts,
yeah,
too.
I think that's
amazing,
like, man.
I was like, this is kind of weird, too, and I don't know.
Were they dressed up like Divas also?
No. Oh, thankfully, no. Like, oh, my God. You don't want to see half these girls
it wasn't
dressed
like,
as Divas.
But it wasn't like a, you know, a comic convention. They have, like, a lot of, like, it's becoming more and more prominent to have, like, all these girls, like, really dressing really scantily
no,
clad
these,
and
these
sexy.
Are like, these are, like, the... These are stereotypical Midwestern, like, rough chicks, and they're kind of big, and, you know, you don't
really want to take them
home, but they're carrying Divas belts, so I was like,
The single fact that they love something so much that
they
want to do
they
that.
They have their
I
own belts, too. I was like, wow, this is kind of...
You can't really deny that.
Yeah.
I can't. If someone really loves something, to show
it's
it
kind of
like
interesting
that.
To see that, but... Like,
but you didn't see any like cosplay going on at the
oh yeah, there were. Oh okay. Yeah, I saw at least like I saw one guy dressed as Hogan. No, there was always a couple guys dressed as Hogan. I saw one guy dressed as like trying to be like Shawn Michaels. like wearing a vest and like a cowboy hat.
A vest
hat
with crosses on it.
Yeah, like chaps on. Oh, I was like, man. And then like the day of WrestleMania, there are people dressed as like Bret Hart and stuff like that. And there are people dressed up as wrestlers. Oh, I saw this like this really short, fat black lady dressed as the Undertaker. I kept calling her the Blundertaker.
Oh, no. Oh wow.
And she cut in front of me in front of the Jimmy Hart line, so that's why she got.
Oh man.
That's why my ire got opened up on her.
Yeah.
You like, got wow. Fucking, fucking Blundertaker cut in front of me.
Would you just say it out loud? You're like.
No, I'd be like, James, look, it's the Blundertaker.
So after you saw Melina, you went and found them, like, watching the match?
Yeah, I mean, we walked around a lot. We just did a lot. We circled around the place.
Was it very crowded, like, enough that... I know that the lines were long,
yeah,
but
the lines
as
really
far as, like,
it.
Being like, able to walk around, though, like, there's times at New York Comic Con where it basically takes, like, 15 minutes to walk.
Nah, it didn't
take
that long.
When it would normally take literally a minute or two.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, like, jam-packed, like,
sardines.
It wasn't
crowded, but the lines were... Long. Like, if you got into a line, you realize you're going to be waiting for a while. Because we were timing it after we got in Jimmy Hart's line. It took us about 30 minutes to get out of it.
Okay.
So we're like, man, if we, you know.
So you can only really do about, like, four or five things, really, during
the
4-hour
there's really
period.
Not a whole lot you can do for what you pay. So it's like, eh. I mean, I'm glad it was definitely an experience. And actually, I actually had more fun just hanging out near the ring. Because they had, like, some local, like, DJ or guy doing, like, just trying to get
people pumped
crowd
up.
Interaction,
yeah.
They're doing like trivia and in the ring and letting a few people into the ring, and then they're like, we'll have another match soon, and they're like, hey, we'll have a Q&A with members of the core. I was like, I don't really care, but no, but you know what? You know, it was funny because they came down to the ring and they're like, the girl's like, hey, you want to ask a question for a member of the core? I was like, kind of just thinking in my head, and I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I got my index card and I put Wade.
Wait, so you're not actually asking, you don't say,
no.
Ask him face
no,
to face?
No, you write your question on a card. I said, Wade, how do you keep your hair so rock solid in the ring when you're wrestling?
That's a good question.
And then I wrote Danny from Atlanta. And then so they're getting in the ring, and then you know, it's Wade.
Danny from Atlanta?
The guy who looks like the Wendy's girl.
Yeah.
Heath Slater.
Heath Slater.
And
Gabriel.
Yeah, the big black guy.
Gabriel
wasn't there because he was
who's the big black guy?
Ezekiel Jackson.
Yeah.
So they get in the ring and they're asking Q&A, and then Tony Chimmel's the one doing the emceeing. He's like,
hey. I like the way Ezekiel Jackson talks, though.
Yeah, Ezekiel Jackson, that's the weird thing. The Ezekiel Jackson is so polite and grounded and well, it's like these guys came out as heels.
Yeah.
And then he's answering all these questions candidly and very politely. and then finally, like, Chimmel, he's like, this question here is from Danny right here in Atlanta. And then I was like, yes, he's going to ask me a question. He goes, Wade, how do you keep your hair so rocks? And you, like, while he's naming it, you can see Wade, he's trying not to laugh. He's got this sarcastic smirk on his face.
Yeah.
And then the best part is, I was like, you know what? I'm now a Wade Barrett fan because of the way, because he rolled with it. He didn't try to be serious about it. He just looks smugly, you know, because he doesn't know who wrote the question, so he just looks.
He doesn't know who Danny from Atlanta
is. Yeah, exactly. So he just looks up and he goes, super glue. Obviously, when you're trying to wrestle a match with John Cena for 30 minutes, the only thing adequate enough to keep my hair in place is super glue. I was just like, yes, Wade Barrett's awesome.
He said super glue. That's awesome.
No, he said super glue. That Cockney accent.
I'm actually a big fan of Wade Barrett, man.
I do like Wade Barrett. I mean, I think he's a solid worker.
He was my favorite from Tough Enough, but I don't know. To
NXT?
Be honest, yeah, or yes, thank you.
Whatever.
NXT. Like, he was, like, I knew he was seriously going to win, and I didn't watch any of the episodes. I was just like, that guy,
well, also
he's
like,
going to win. But then, like, he's kind of like an ugly-looking Clive Owen. And
he's got giant ears.
Yeah.
Shave his head and he'll look like a dick.
The first time I ever saw Wade Barrett was he was actually doing color. This is what sold me on Wade Barrett. You know, like, so when NXT first started out, I did some research on who all these people were. And I found that Wade Barrett actually also did commentary on FCW. It was him and the other guy from Burke. The other guy who was on NXT from Burke. I forget his name.
The guy that's
the black
dude. The Miz? Oh. I forgot his name.
But it was him. And he was fucking saying some hilarious stuff, man.
But yeah, Wade, when Wade answered my question, I was like, you know what? Wade's got a fan in me now.
Yeah.
Because he was all like, super glue.
Were those the only guys that did Q&A?
Yeah.
That's not bad, though. Those are good guys.
Yeah. And then, like, so we walked around, looked at all the guys who were doing signings, CM Punk. The Uso twins were doing it. No one cared about them. Their line was just empty.
I don't even know who the Uso twins are.
That's like the new wild Samoans.
Yeah, yeah,
but
they're the current generic Samoan guys who wrestle and do a lot of headbutts.
Are they like the sons of
the original wild Samoans? How are people supposed to know who they are if they never see them?
You know, the funniest thing is, James, he sent me a text while we were split up at one point. He goes, he's like, Chris Masters is doing a signing. I was like, we'll be there. So we went, and then I saw Chris Masters. I was like, you know what? I don't really want to meet him anymore because not only is he shrunk because
he's not the masterpiece anymore.
Now that he's shrunk because he's not on steroids anymore, he's sitting there like in his Hall of Fame dinner outfit, look like all clean cut Republican. I was like, are you a pro wrestler or like a congressman? And then
Which would be a great gimmick. It just killed it.
It killed the mood right there. I was like, you know what? I don't really feel like meeting Chris Masters anymore. But then like he was later replaced with Kofi Kingston, but all the kids just
flopped.
I was like, hey, it's cool to see
the
Kofi
kids
there.
Do like
yeah,
Kofi.
Kids love Kofi. The kids love Santino,
and Ray.
Yeah, and they love Ray. But yeah, we just circled around a couple times, and then we realized we're like, all right, you know what? I think we're pretty much done.
I mean, and also no doubt that CM Punk line was huge.
Yeah, CM Punk's line was ridiculous.
Even as a heel, I think he's more popular. You know what I mean? People just love his performance.
He's a good performer, and people recognize that.
And you can tell that like he is who his gimmick is. So it's you get what you hear from him.
And you know the funny thing is like one of the more interesting things that happened all weekend was before right after everyone arrived on Friday, we went to go get breakfast at a Gladys Knight and Ron Winans House Chicken Waffles.
Oh wow!
Nice.
But you knew right away the whole WrestleMania experience started that Friday because as I was waiting for them, I pulled up to the curb. I just see this big fat fuck of a typical wrestling fan sitting there on the bench, big black sweatshirt with a big yellow N on it. I was like, oh god, here we go, Nexus fan. And I was like, yep,
damn,
it's WrestleMania weekend already. So, and then naturally, we got to the House of Chicken Waffles like 10 minutes early, and we're like, all right, let's go walk down the street and, you know, just look around in the city. By the time we got back, it was like 11:03. There was a line. We're like, fuck. And naturally, all these people wearing wrestling shirts of various times. So I was like, man, you could tell what's going on already.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they're in town.
Like, the wrestling nerds and marks have all descended on the city. So we sit and we eat. And afterwards, you know,
Who's we at this point? It's you,
Huzzard, James, and my friend Andy.
Okay, so all right.
It was just the four of us. They all came relatively within an hour of each other, so it was easy for me to just pick them all up in one fell swoop.
Cool.
So we go for a walk afterwards, like we used to back after like eating. We just, you know, walk around. So we walk down, and my friend Andy needed to go to the bank. So I was like, hey, there's a bank four blocks over. So we walked over to the bank. My friend Andy went into the bank. I'm waiting outside with Huzzard and James. And all of a sudden, I just see this like huge guy walk right past me. I was like, I looked, and then I go, I tap Huzzard on the chest. I was like, Huzzard, there's Kane. I was like, and then Huzzard looks. He goes, that's not Kane. He's not tall enough. I was like, what are you talking about? He's huge. And then, so my friend Andy comes out of the bank. I was like, Andy, look, I think that's Kane. So
now, how did he like top? I mean, you know, head to toe. How did he look like?
Okay, he was wearing a cap over his bald head.
Okay.
And he was wearing all black tracksuit, like a warm-up suit. He was
like Adidas style.
Yeah,
where
he was coming out of was like a food court, and he was walking back to the hotel, and obviously he went in probably because there's a Gold's Gym down the block. It's probably easy to say he worked out and he's going to go get food and he's going back to his hotel.
Yeah.
And so we're like, well, we need to go back in that direction anyway, so let's go follow him. So
like, so the four of you just
trailed him. Yeah, well, barely half a block down, you see like three other dudes. They stop this guy, and then next thing you know, they're taking pictures with him. I was like, I told you that was Kane.
That's fucking
Kane. So we catch up to that group, and then they take their pictures. And these are the guys that the WWE are. They're gonna try to get on camera at some point because they were from like Australia.
Yeah.
These guys traveled. They were like, because you can hear in their voices. Like, mate, we traveled all the way from Australia to WrestleMania. And Kane's all like, yo, yeah, it's great. You know, you could tell he wanted to get back to his hotel room and eat his Manchu wok or something. But I was like, in my head, I was like, I know he wants to go back to his room, but I'm not going to miss this chance.
Exactly.
So I was like, Kane, can I get a picture with you? He's like, sure. So Kane was actually really cool, and he shook our hands, and he took pictures with myself and Andy, and then Huzzard and James waited too long, and then Kane just kind of bolted, but...
He has to bolt.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, we were like, oh, his food's getting cold. It was chilly afternoon there, so... Mm-hmm. But we were like, dude, we already met Kane, this weekend's awesome!
You've met the Brothers of Destruction,
Yeah, I've met both of the Brothers of Destruction and shaking both their hands now. So that, yeah, that was a cool moment for me.
I think almost for that type of moment's really exciting.
Yeah, because that was completely candid. Yeah. Completely candid. It wasn't canned. It was like right there in the moment. And it's like I said, it's because I just recognized Kane. Because come on, his face is fairly recognizable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's either him or Benji Madden.
Yeah. I was like, it's Kane. It's Kane. So yeah, we got to meet Kane, and I, you know, took a picture on my phone. So that was a good moment. And then the wrestling show itself. You know, you guys saw the pay-per-view, but naturally...
Well, how's The Rock, though? Because we only have a few minutes. Did The Rock, was The Rock really over? Because you got to see...
Yeah, the crowd popped for Rock, and the crowd was very much pro-Rock. And it was funny because there was this guy, like, sitting in front of us, like, two sections up from us. Because you know how the Rock was kept saying, and the whole joke is now Cena's fans are all, like, little boys and kids. This guy had to have been like 25 years old or something. Full on Cena gear.
Like the bright red, like, or bright orange.
He bought the shirt and all the armbands that at the show. And he was in full Cena apparel.
Did he have a hat too?
Unfortunately, not a Cena hat. He had his own hat, like University of Georgia hat, like all the other frat losers that live in the city of Atlanta.
Well, that's the Cena's fans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But man, he was just like super Cena fan. He was trying to get like Cena chants going and... I kept looking at him. I don't have any room at all to speak because I'm as big of a wrestling nerd as they get.
Yeah.
But I don't know where the superiority comes from. But I was like, man, what a fucking loser. I took a picture of him because I was like, this guy has the biggest tool bag in this entire arena. And he said,
Could you see him? Like, since he's wearing the bright ass colors, he can. See him for
well,
far away,
the
right?
New Cena shirt
well, no,
is
see,
like,
that's the problem.
Like red
every
only
kid is wearing the Cena shirt in the damn arena. So you have every kid wearing a bright red Cena shirt and then this 25-year-old dork.
Yeah, but he believes, though.
Yeah,
that's
the
one thing.
He was like the biggest Cena fan.
He could be like a Marine for all you know, and then he's just like,
yeah,
yeah
well,
I
James
have...
and I were both there wearing our bright-ass yellow Hulk Hogan shirts.
Nice.
And James cut his sleeves off too, so he's all
what?
Like, he's all well, no, he had that. He had the sleeves cut off since like junior
up.
Year.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's all hulked up wearing his Hulkamania shirt, and I'm wearing my Hulkamania will live
what
forever.
What was your other friend wearing and Huzzard wearing? Were
Huzzard?
They wearing
no,
WrestleMania
no,
they, stuff?
Two of them were just normal.
Man, you could have gotten just as much heat as that Cena guy too. You know?
Yeah, but and then the worst part was this fucking loser in front of me. We kept calling him the owned guy. Like, have you ever seen that picture on the internet where it's there's it's clearly a husband and wife. They're both white.
Yeah.
And the woman's holding a baby, and it's clearly a half black, half white baby.
Oh,
and
God.
And then in impact font, it just says owned with the arrow pointing at the guy. So that's where the joke comes from whenever we say
man.
Owned. So, like, at first we're like, this is awesome. There's no one in front of us. And then, like, right during the dark match, four people sit right in front of us. This big, white, bald dude wearing a bright-ass orange Denver Broncos Tim Tebow jersey, who is the biggest tool in football. So he's like, he's the biggest, like, he's the ultimate, like, poster child for Fairweather fan. So he's just sitting there with his bright-ass yellow Tim Tebow jersey. I was like, man, shit. And then his trailer trash girlfriend or wife. God. But here's the best part.
Sister.
The two kids... are half black.
Oh.
So Huzzard and I, we were like, we kept
owned.
Saying owned. Like all night long, we're like, we kept pointing at him being like, owned,
dude,
owned.
So owned,
owned,
man. Owned twice.
But the worst part is, I'm trying. I don't have a very good camera, but you know, I can use my 15 optical zoom and try to get pictures of the.
Yeah.
So I'm all like lining up my shots, trying to be as still as possible, not using a flash. And then something would happen, and then fucking Tim Tebow would stand up and flail his arms and. I had like eight shots with
of
like this of this blur of this big orange bald fat fuck blur standing up my photos, and
he's
finally
owned,
I lost my shit. So there's just a picture. I mean, you guys can eventually see it when I eventually post it. But there's just a picture of this guy standing up with his arms up, like in like rejoicing a high impact move, and then me, all you see is my middle finger. Like, and I took a picture like that because I was getting so tired of this fucking own loser constantly. Photobombing my pictures,
man.
With his stupid Markism.
That's what I'm worried about. Like
it's Markism.
If we ever do like make the trek to WrestleMania.
Get good ass seats or don't
really any wrestling show. I feel like you're gonna you gotta be on the floor.
You know, honestly, I was amazed with how few signs there were. I was expecting some fucking kid in front of me to have a goddamn sign.
Were they taking them away though?
Yeah,
were they taking signs away?
Not that I was aware of. I mean, there are people carrying signs in, but thankfully none of them were near me because I would have lost my shit.
You would have ripped that shit.
Yeah,
out.
Like if Undertaker misspelled were on a sign in front of me, I'd be like, God damn it.
Eddie mowed my lawn.
Yeah, well, once I went to a house show in Ohio and there was a kid with a sign in front of me, I was like, it's a fucking house show. This isn't televised. They're not looking for your fucking signs. I was, yeah, but those two guys didn't ruin the show the least bit. They're just interesting stories
annoying
to tell.
Yeah.
But what really killed it for
you might have to save it though, man. You only got a few 1 minute left.
All right, I'll make this quick.
All right.
Imagine trying to leave an event where 70,000 people are leaving at the same time.
Yeah.
That's called Tyson's Corner.
And this is worse because they're all fat, sweaty from every corner of the globe.
Yeah.
And they don't know where to go. I know where to go, but the problem is no one else does. So I was we just got so mad. It was just got so mad towards the end. I was like, man, God damn it. Because the show ended at like 10:30.
Yeah.
But we didn't actually get in my car till like 11:30.
Jesus. Oh. An hour.
Yeah.
So how did, if you can speak for Huzzard and James, how did they enjoy it?
I think they liked being there. They're appreciative of having attended it.
Yeah.
But I think they're in my boat now. You could talk to them and I'm sure, I can't speak for them, but I'd be willing to bet that they're probably going to agree with me. It's better with us as friends and all together watching it on a big screen TV with nice food
and
commentary.
And we have space.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we can walk out and not...
Exactly.
Just interacting with other people is always a different challenge.
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with them.
Thanks for joining us again this week, man.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
It's always pretty awesome.
Thanks, Danny.
There you go. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
I'm Danny.
Catch you all next week. Stay positive, everybody.
Stump, I gave you all that you can drink, and it has never been enough. I gave you blood, blood, blood. I'm the kind of human wreckage that you love.